Hey everybody, welcome to Cincinnati Real Producers Podcast, powered by Next Door Photos. I'm Patrick Braddock, owner and publisher of Cincinnati Real Producers.
And I'm Daniel Ziegler, owner of Next Door Photos. Every week, we're getting to know Cincinnati's top realtors.
Our goal is to elevate and inspire the real estate community throughout Greater Cincinnati.
Today, we have Nick Foltz, the team lead for the Nick Foltz Group, brokered by Pivot Realty. Nick is in his 10th year selling real estate. The Nick Foltz Group has been the number one sales producing team company-wide at Pivot every year since 2017. In 2023 alone, his team's volume was over $30 million. Nick has been recognized in the top 100 agents on Instagram in North America by Property Spark. He was voted number one as NKY Magazine's best real estate agent in Northern Kentucky the past 2 years running. And he was voted CityBeat's best real estate agent in Cincinnati in 2022. Welcome to the show, Nick Foltz.
Great to be here, guys.
Thanks for being here, Nick. If you want to dive right in, let's talk about Northern Kentucky real estate. Let's do it, man. I don't know. As we talked off mic, I don't really know a whole lot about the market down there. I want to learn more.
Absolutely.
I'm excited to hear from you, man.
Yeah.
Really excited to dive into this with you.
Yep. I'm excited to be here, guys. Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
You guys have had some impressive names on the show so far, by the way. So.
It's been a lot of fun.
What are you doing bringing me?
Appreciate that. No.
I'm just kidding. So, all right.
Glad to have you.
Yeah. Thank you. So, Northern Kentucky is its own animal. And, you know, what we were kind of talking off camera about is for the longest time, downtown Cincinnati was the spot, you know, and before that, Clifton was the spot. And I think for the longest time, Cincinnati's been a region where we've just been bored for so long. We've just wanted something to do. Mm-hmm. And I think we've really overbuilt that. And for the longest time, it used to be, OTR. There was a lot of bars and restaurants and mm-hmm. coffee shops. And now we're getting James Beard recognition, and it's really exciting. And now what you'll see is that the best views of Cincinnati are from the Northern Kentucky side, right?
Absolutely.
And a beautiful view of the skyline over there and a lot of history. And so what I've noticed in Northern Kentucky, and you definitely got to check it out, Patrick, is there's a lot of bars and restaurants over there. And each riverside city kind of has its own personality, mm-hmm. its own vibe, its own style, its own architecture, you know, and its own stories. And sure. because of that, there's so much to dive into and explore and see. And, you know, all of it's very accessible to the river to where you get some really beautiful river views there. And there's a lot you can taste and do. So definitely check it out. I would recommend Mainstross a lot. That goes without saying. I'm sure you've probably at least been there once or twice,
I was a
right?
UC guy. So we were always going to Mainstross on the weekends.
There you go. Like that, so right. Yep.
That's great.
Yeah. It's,
and
it's
that whole area is completely different from when I was in college 15 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, it's... There's a lot of, you know, new apartments and I mean the real estate in general.
Yeah.
And you can touch base on that if you want.
Like absolutely.
The restaurants and everything it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
I love it.
And I could tell you, I actually live in Mainstross.
Oh,
and
beautiful.
So it's a convenient arrangement for me because, you know, I own a building there and then right next door to that building is my office. So I can go there and I can go one of my offices. And so we can go to the Mainstross office and do our operations or closings or meet with new clients there if needed. But I always say that, you know, living in Covington and probably this goes without saying some of these other riverside cities too. It's very much like living on a resort. You walk out and it's like, well, where am I going to go eat today? You walk down, you go get your piece of pizza or your Italian or your steak or whatever you want.
Sure.
And then it's like, you know what? I'd like a drink. And you go up, you go get a drink. I'm going to walk the dog. You go walk the little dog around the lap and all the dogs know each other. It's kind of crazy like that.
That's
and
awesome.
Then you retreat back home. You go do your work next door and it's a fine arrangement, you know?
That's awesome. And so, you're close to everything.
Exactly.
Like that's one of the most central locations in the entire tri-state.
It helps. Well, especially being licensed in Ohio and Kentucky and doing a lot of business on both sides of the pond, it's nice to be able to be right on the line. So if I need to dart up to Mason or if I need to go, you know, anywhere, Liberty Township, any of these places downtown, it's right there. It's highly accessible.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
Know? So it works a lot.
Good for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's awesome. And I'm a Northern Kentucky guy myself. So this is where Patrick and I differ. We have a lot of similarities, but I'm born and raised Northern Kentucky. So I've been there all my life and it has changed tremendously. I mean, even since I was in high school, which doesn't feel that long ago, but I'm realizing more and more how long ago it really was.
I'm just kidding. I don't know about you gray hairs.
Yep. I got
I'm starting to get them right here.
I got you all beat.
Now, come on now.
Yeah. What do you see as like Northern Kentucky's, What's the next big boom you see in Northern Kentucky?
So tough. I mean, the question is, are we speaking about Riverside? Or are we speaking, as we might say, inland, right?
Right. So,
it's kind of what it's like. Yeah. So anyway, if we're speaking more inland, I mean, I would pay attention to areas like Walton. Hebron's blowing up. We know that, right? So, I mean, we've got Amazon and everything. And it always seems like with them, it always seems like it stops and then it starts back up again and starts going crazy, right? You know? So I've noticed, I've noticed that. And then if we're talking about on the riverside, you know, Covington's it's an animal, you know, I mean, not to keep drawing attention to Covington, but Covington's not like, if you look at like, Ludlow or Bellevue or Dayton or any of these, Newport even, it's sort of a tight space, you know, and Covington's sort of like they've taped together like four or five cities because, you know, you've got like the rural Covington, and then you've got like Licking River with totally different architecture, totally different everything. And then you've got the Central Business District, then you got your Main Strauss, then you got like kind of Latonia Covington. And so there's so much there that there's so much space to develop things. And so because of that, they have so many ambitions for what they're going to do with it. And like, if we look at the, like the Flatiron, like, I don't know if that, the Flat Top, sorry, I'm thinking of New York City. That's cool. Yeah. Too. We won't talk about that one today, but the Flat Top, building in Covington used to be the IRS building. Well, now that's bulldozed and they've got all this land that they're going to do, you know, maybe like parks, and they're going to do shopping and bars and everything else. And that's like, that's right there close to everything else, like all of your Main Strauss. So you walk to the end of the street and now you have all of that real estate to mess with. So it's crazy to think that something is as built up as much as Covington already is. And there's just so much room to go.
Yeah, you know? A lot of potential.
So I'm very excited to see what it becomes. And honestly, what's so cool is I saw that, you know, I hate to give Zillow any props at all, right? But they did say that Cincinnati was the number two market, right? And this just came out. Great. So, you know, you see things like that, and you know that the money's already been spent in a lot of these places to develop these places, but the construction's not been done. And for the longest time, when, you know, to pivot back to OTR, we all knew the money was spent, but none of us seen the vision. Right. And so we were like, OTR, really? Because to those watching, if you're new to the area or what have you, OTR was an area that just did not feel good. It wasn't safe. It was, you know, very underdeveloped at the time. And, you know, but we all knew that the money was spent. And with Northern Kentucky, the money's been spent. And for them to be this far, my God, it's going to be great.
It's going to explode.
Yep. A lot to come, for sure.
So breaking down Kentucky a little bit more, you know, you have the riverside and the inland as easy enough as it is to refer to those areas. You know, what percentage of your business is going to be more towards the riverside or towards the inland of the Kentucky side of, of the tri-state?
Wonderful question. And so what I'd say is, in the very beginning, when I first got into real estate, creeping on that 10-year mark, like we talked, you know, you always have a vision for how you think it's going to go.
Sure.
And you always have a vision for where you think you're going to do business and where you want to do business, and you want to be the expert here. But the reality is if you really do a good job for people, and, you know, from there they tell four or five other people, you can't really control that. Right. And so what I realized is that as that process started taking place, like, you know, when I first got into the business, you know, then my second year, I honestly just wanted to kind of creep to get, you know, a fraction of where I was. And but I worked so hard to do it that I was able to exceed that in volume. It was crazy, which is why I had to build the team like I did. But what I realized is just working so much and doing well for people, they start bringing you inland. They start bringing you across into your Masons and into your East Walnut Hills and everywhere. Sure. And before you know it, you kind of have, for lack of a better term, you sort of have tentacles everywhere, because everyone in these different areas, if you do people right, you're honest, you work hard, and you answer your phone, and you do things a little bit differently than what you see your competitors doing, people talk everywhere, and which has helped. And so, yeah, I would say that we definitely don't tell anybody no, depending, you know, I mean, if it's like in a different jurisdiction, like 3 hours away, we can't, right? But no, we've got so much experience in so many different areas now that we work everywhere.
That's awesome.
If I had a market that I would say I identify with, you know, single, no kids, goofy little French bulldog that I dress up from time to time, He's got his own Instagram. But anyway, but at the end of the day, you know, I identify with that young professional because that's me, you know, I identify with the guy that that might go out on a Tuesday to a steakhouse or to a restaurant, do a tasting or something like that. So
that's awesome.
That's my vibe. But, you know, I relate and get to know everyone on a pretty good level, you know.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's important to be adaptable like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, one thing that I found too, Daniel, is like at the end of the day, like we have more similarities than we do differences. You know, mm-hmm. doesn't matter if, you know, I'm dressed like this, you're like that or like this or what we listen to or any of that stuff. At the end of the day, we probably have a lot more in common than we do different. And, you know, whenever I'm in an appointment with anybody, that's what I look for. It's not about, you know, me being the realtor, being the boss or any of that stuff. I know I work for whoever's hiring me. But at the end of the day, I throw all that aside and I try to figure out how we like, how can we work together? You know, what is it that we both are super enthusiastic about, super passionate about? You know, I know that this is such a very personal and deep process to people. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to get to know each other for a while. We're going to, you know, we're going to maybe have bad days. I don't know what the buyer or the seller, whoever's on the other side, is going to be like. I don't know what might come up in an inspection. I have no idea. So right. We need to really get close for a little while because we're a team, you know?
That's awesome.
So that's a lot of that for sure.
Well, then I love that mentality because that carries over. Like that's the reason why the referrals come in, because they understand that the service that you're providing isn't transactional.
Yeah.
You know, it's very relational because it helps them, but it also helps you.
Exactly.
Know? So
yeah,
that's a really good perspective.
I think if you're extremely selfless throughout the process, then that's felt, yep. You know, and one of the things that I'll often say to people is, you know, at the end of the day, it could be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, if something breaks down, I don't need to be selling you a house. Call me. Right. I will always be here. I might even check in and bug you from time to time, right? Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to add you on social at the end of the day so we can just keep in touch. I get to see when you have life events and special things are happening, and I can maybe know if you need something. Maybe you're falling on hard times. I see that, right? And at the end of the day, it's just, I think if you really treat it like the relationship that it needs to be,
people
remember that, you That's know, awesome. And it goes a long way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of being memorable, let's talk about the outfits.
If ADHD was a fashion sense, enter Nick Foltz's wardrobe, right?
Oh, I love it, man.
Well, that's where I think it's so crazy to talk about social media.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about how you've gained so many followers.
Sure.
But I think part of it is you set yourself apart. Like you've created and this is your personality on your body.
Your image.
Like, right? You know, like,
yeah,
it's pretty cool to see because some of the outfits I've seen, like what is it, like a green velvet?
Oh, you saw that.
I've seen all sorts of outfits that you've gone out in, and it's pretty cool to see, man.
Yeah, so, it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And it's not forced, you know? So it's, you know, if we're going to go to early Nick, early on, right? Some of the people that might be watching this, they will know that Nick. Not a whole lot's changed, right? Maybe we got the a different career path and a lot more life experiences and some gray hair. But when I was in high school, it was very much like that. I was always wearing crazy attire and people got to know it. And, you know, you don't understand the implications of what you're doing very, very early on, that people will kind of continue talking about that and you become memorable. And in a way, you're kind of building a brand. And when you're young, you don't know that, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where, in high school, I would like, you know, I was that weirdo that now you see kids do it all the time. There's like kids, they go to prom, they got all these goofy suits and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But back in my day, which you would see, got back problems and everything now. But back in my day, we'll just say it. It was one of those things where if somebody wore something crazy, it was like, what's up with this guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was fun, you know, background in theater and always just wanted to go over the top and have a great time. And so I'd show up wearing something goofy like that. And but my day-to-day attire was also kind of all over the board. I just thought it was fun.
Yeah.
And so I told myself when I was younger, I'm like, if I ever become successful one day, I'm going to wear fun suits all the time because I can, you know? And what I didn't realize is you were building a brand early on, and then, you know, people, whether they love it or hate it, they're talking about it, whether they totally think you're off the rails crazy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I very much in my business, I believe in being different, thinking different, acting different, you know? I think, and all that translates to to doing different a little bit, absolutely, right? And providing something different, you know? Mm-hmm. If you can close your eyes and pick a realtor or someone to work for you, and it's pretty much the same outcome, you're doing it wrong, you know? But it's not, you know, not just about the attire, but I have a great time.
It's super unique, man. And it sets you apart.
Yeah.
It keeps you remembered. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's fun on content too, right? Because you don't know what's going on there. Yeah. And and so speaking of social, it's kind of fun to pull back the veil and go back to our crazy day-to-day, you know, interactions at work or with the team, you know, which has helped too.
Right.
For sure. Fantastic. Yeah.
I think, I mean, you've gotten some recognition. We were just talking about in your intro for your social media.
Yeah.
Is that... do you see a lot of your business coming from that, or is that more of like continuing your relationships with your current clients? And what does that look like for you?
It's a great question. What I would say with social is, I'll get people that they will be following me, and I don't know why they're following me. Sometimes they just want to see what I'm going to do next.
Sure.
Sometimes
be entertaining.
Whatever. It's like, okay, what's he up to now? So it's a little bit of that. And sometimes, they're like silently interviewing you. You know, they're silently watching your every move. Mm. And then, you know, 2 months later, 3 months later, after, you know, you can kind of backtrack it. And you're like, this person was watching me to make sure I continue to be a stable investment or a stable, you know what I'm saying, performer. Right. And then they reached out accordingly. And so, you know, what I've seen with social, it's very, very much been that, you know, I say that it's the silent interview, you know, concept. So, a lot of that, but I would say at the end of the day for me, when we're doing our trackers for who's reached out, where they came from, a lot of it honestly is, it's network, it's past clients. So as big of a following as I've been able to create, a lot of it is just getting the job done well for people and them telling other people, stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. Traditional real estate, huh?
Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
Funny how that works, right?
When you really deduce it down, you know, not to to go back to earlier times, but, you know, something that I kind of had in my notes today, because I didn't know what we were going to talk about today, is, you know, to embellish a little bit more, to add a little bit more, I'd say, to what we're talking about from terms of network is, you know, real estate is a really karmatic like industry. It's one of those things that if you do the right thing then happens to you. It's this whole chain. Yeah. And so to take ourselves back to earlier times, you know, in school, in high school, even to go to that time, right? Because that's where we started some things, I guess. But I was always really, really nice to everybody. And, if somebody was getting picked on, I stood up for them. Hmm. And, you know, like even though I would dress in my goofy attire, I would go to, you know, social events with every different social group, every one of them, right? I was in everyone's good graces, and I eventually became homecoming king. I dressed as the Joker in homecoming, right? Nice. And that goofy. So in a purple suit and stuff. Shouldn't surprise you after the
That's hilarious, man. That's awesome.
Right. I didn't have the white makeup. That's a little weird. Okay. But I just did like the green and then the little purple, and you know, it was just to create a scene. I thought it'd be cool, right?
That's fantastic.
It was a blast. But not to talk about that as much as it was. If you treat people really, really, really well, then they, as a result, they recognize you. I wasn't trying to get homecoming king. I didn't know. But people did that because I listened to people. I was nice to people. I treated them well. I wasn't about picking on people, you know, and I did that really early on. And so it's just always been who I am. And because of that, real estate made a lot of sense, because if you're a good person, good things will happen to you. If you look out for people and protect them, then they protect you. They look out for your business. They refer you. And, you know, I have an investor client of mine, and he buys a decent amount of properties. And he said something to me once, and I just told this story the other day. And he goes, Nick, he goes, do you know why I decided to hire you? I said, because I'm good at my job, I hope.
Yeah.
And he goes, no. He goes, you were always really nice to me in school. And I said, well, hopefully it's also because I'm good at my job. You know, a little eye roll. But I honestly think like
why he keeps coming back, right?
Yeah.
He hired you because you're a good person.
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome.
And you know, if you, to pivot a little bit, not to use that term, but pivot. But to pivot a little bit, you know, if you're doing a walkthrough with people and you walk in to the showing, and they're falling in love. They're so excited. You know, this is the house they've been pining over, this house for the last couple days or maybe the last couple hours in this market. Yeah. But we get out there. They're so excited. And you walk in and you instantly see there's water intrusion. You see that there's settling marks. You see that the foundation's got these stepping marks, right, that shows it's actively being pulled apart. HVAC's old. They're a first-time buyer. They may not have the means, or you know their situation. Gotten to know them. And I think looking out for people on that scale,
yeah,
they talk, right? Because it's totally selfless. Mm-hmm. It all translates, though. You know what I'm saying? So, the network thing, I think it happens as a result of really just looking out, being good, getting to know people, you know, caring about them, trying to care more than who you're up against. That's awesome.
Right.
Yep.
Commercial?
Yep. We want to ask you some advice for buyers and sellers, but real quick before we do, we always like to give a quick shout out to our hosts here in the studio, Back to Back Ministries. Back to Back is a global nonprofit orphan care organization with their sights set on providing care for today and hope for every tomorrow. From Cincinnati, Ohio to Hyderabad, India, staff teams around the world are stepping into hard stories and choosing to stay. To learn more about the work Back to Back does, how you can get involved, and why a global team won't stop until every child is known and loved, visit backtoback.org today.
It's an important industry or important organization. We appreciate them.
Doing some great work around the world, and we're grateful that they share the studio with us. Yep. So
that's great, guys.
Let's talk about buyers and sellers.
Let's go.
Go for it, Daniel.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've seen some craziness in the market. I mean, these past few years have been wild and continues to change. What kind of advice do you have when you're meeting with somebody who's like coming to you, wants to trust you in this? What advice do you have for them? And obviously it's so situational, but if you were to give some broad advice,
sure.
What do you have for
people? Is it a broad advice for a seller or broad
let's,
advice?
Let's do both. Right. Let's do both.
Okay. Yeah. Let's walk down the path.
Let's start with the seller.
Okay. So let's walk down the path for a seller. So first thing I think that always needs to be done is you know you've got a long road ahead of you. So first thing you need to do is walk in, and you know, first thing I think a seller really wants to do is they want to sit down and we want to talk numbers. How mm-hmm. much am I going to make, right? Right. I think most of us would like to know those numbers. But before you can get there, you need to know what you're working with. And so first thing is, give me the grand tour. The reason you want to do that, especially in a market like this, is you want to know what's going to come up in an inspection, what's going to come up maybe to turn on or turn off a buyer, what might be an issue that might collapse or be an issue later during the transaction, like what could potentially break down, what could be a problem, what might smell funny, look funny, mm-hmm. you know, what might be too busy. So you really want to know what you're working with. If I'm taking it back to, like, you know, to theater days or, you know, that regard, you're trying to set the stage before you open the curtains and invite the audience, right? You want it to be pristine.
That's a great analogy.
And I use that with my sellers.
That's awesome.
Because in all reality, you know, behind the scenes, we're constructing the set. We're building it, you know, and when we open the curtains, we want it to be on point. We want to blow them away. Mm-hmm. And so with that being said, I want to walk through and I want to make sure we're building the set perfectly. So I want to be able to highlight the ways that the room can flow and get rid of the chunky furniture. And I want to make sure if I see any, you know, any blemishes or anything that's going to turn off somebody, you know, if I'm a, you know, listing agent, the positive thing is I work both sides a lot. So me walking through that door, that's working with 1,000 plus whatever it is buyers at that point, you know, mm-hmm. and I know, you know, what buyers think about, what they talk about, what that specific neighborhood, that price point, everything. I know what that buyer is going to think like. Yeah. And so since I know those things, I'd rather save the seller all of that pain of figuring it out later by telling them right then. And so I'll walk through and I'll carefully tell them each and everything they need to do, so they blow people away when we pull back the curtains. Make sense?
That's awesome.
And then from there, I'll highlight all the inspection things that might come up. So this way, before we even get to the inspection, anything that might come up has already been remedied, fixed, and taken care of, right? It's peace of mind. So this way, when we're under contract, you have a lot less risk of buyers running away or being scared, because any pain points have already been figured out and taken care of. Sure. And for a seller, what I'll say is, the process, it's so emotional. And I'm sure you've talked to, I don't even know how many guys and gals you've talked to, but at this point, I can say that they've probably alluded to some of this. It's a very emotional process.
Absolutely.
And so setting the expectation is definitely key, right? So you're going to basically protect them from a buyer that's going to want to run away because everything's perfect. Everything looks the way it should, mm-hmm. you know? And then from there, we're going to talk about not just competitive pricing and why we can get what we can get, but then we're going to talk about a marketing plan. In a market like this right now, you know, it's really depending. It's so market specific. Mm-hmm. It depends, you know, because there's some specific neighborhoods with even in the same city that are going like parabolic.
Yeah.
However, that same city, there might be other neighborhoods in a market like this where they hang out, mm-hmm. and setting the right expectations on, you know, estimated days on market based off of interpreting the market data, that's going to help a seller. But you need to know where you can press and what you can do. And then from there, you need to expose it every possible channel possible and expose it well too, right? That'll also help you pull, you know, more potential opportunities for new clients, mm-hmm. but it helps your seller unturn every stone possible to make the most amount of money, to create bidding wars and everything else, right? Even in a market like this, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we're going to pivot to buyers, however, knowing where they're looking, knowing each market is specifically different, it's good because that'll help set the right expectation.
Right.
The reality is as a buyer, there's so many moving parts as well. And so to basically make sure that they know what to expect, do that buyer consultation, right? Make sure they know what to expect. So even though you're going to be stressed out, but the goal is to eliminate as much of that stress that you're feeling, get it out of the way. And then from there, we're able to really focus on what we're trying to do, you know? And so that would be it. Talk about what markets they're looking in and how to win in those markets. We have specific tactics and strategies that have helped us a lot. Probably won't announce it to my competitors. Yeah. No offense, guys, but things that have helped us dramatically, and that we continue to always adapt as needed. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's awesome.
Yeah. So I'd say that's probably the key. And then, of course, working with a buyer, making sure that at every given point, we're never trying to upsell you, put you out of your comfort zone, put you in a neighborhood you don't specify as a need, and make sure that we're really not just your second set of eyes, but very experienced set of eyes. Mm, yeah, you know, we've seen so much after 10 years, right, and counting, right? You've had people that have been on here for 30 years or whatever.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, I'd say probably year 5 or 7, if you're doing, you know, 130, 150 reps a year, sales a year, and you do it so much, it's like working, each year is like working 10 years, you know, because it's so much volume. Right. And then you'd really get a knack for what to look for and very quickly.
That's awesome.
Know? Yeah.
And yep, I think what helps. I see like a common theme with that advice too is just kind of getting out ahead of things, getting ahead of the expectations, getting ahead of what do we see that's going to be a problem here and how do we address it now rather than later on when this just gets a whole lot worse.
So absolutely.
I think that's really great advice.
It's huge, honestly. You know, there's a quote that says that expectation is the mother of all frustration.
Sure.
And if you just don't throw it out there and let people know what to expect, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And that's why I'm entering, you know, the scene here.
Sure.
Is I'm being brought in because they don't know what they don't know, and they need someone just to be honest with them.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think that the thing about the real estate industry, and it's a shame, and I don't know if we want to take a conversation here. It's not a bad thing. It just is what it is. But you know, 90% of the people, 85% of the people that do this, they really do it part time. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, when we were talking about what your focus was here with this podcast, you know, you want to talk to people that aren't that. You want to talk to people that they do it nights, holidays, and weekends. They answer the phone. They sleep, eat, and breathe this. You know, they're really there for people.
Absolutely.
And I think that's huge. And the problem that I see in this industry is that it's almost like a photographer. You know, you have two cards that say the same thing. The person does the same art or career. You don't know who just has a camera and is looking to make money off of it, or who has really taken their time to understand their craft, who has gone to, you know, Antonelli, who like really studies the equipment, knows the different lighting techniques, et cetera, et cetera. There's a drastic difference in the profession. And so I think with that being said, you know, really trying to consume yourself with this craft and be the second option for people to where when they see the car, they both say the same thing, that you are a distinguished difference for the consumer. You know, right. I think absolutely. That's a big deal. For sure. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
It absolutely is.
Yep.
Well, man, it has been a pleasure having you.
It's been great, guys.
This has been a great conversation.
You on, thanks for having me. It's been great to, you know, get to meet you, Patrick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great to sit down with you guys.
Yeah, we'll have to have a cup of coffee later, man.
I look forward to it.
Absolutely. Yep. I'll come to your neck of the woods. I need to learn more about
I'll show you the spots.
The Covington
Main
area.
Strauss coffee spot.
Yeah. Yeah. Anywhere.
Awesome.
Well, thank you again.
Thank you, guys.
Continued success with everything. Love to follow you on social media. I've been a fan, man.
So awesome. I really appreciate it, Patrick.
Appreciate you.
Yep. Thanks, man. Absolutely. Thank you, Daniel.
Thanks for listening to the Cincinnati Real Producers podcast powered by Nextdoor Photos. We do this every week, so be sure to subscribe so you can follow along. If you liked our conversation, leave us a review. We'd love to hear your thoughts.